The US President Barack Obama is urging Congress to release $6 billion in emergency aid to fight the Ebola outbreak in West Africa. And he says this disease can't be beaten without more money.
Every hot spot is an ember that, if not contained, can become a new fire. So we cannot let down our guard even for a minute. And we can't just fight this epidemic. We have to extinguish it.
That's the US President Barack Obama speaking to the Congress. On Monday of this week, we were speaking with Liberia's Assistant Health Minister, Tolbert Nyenswa. He was telling us that his country is starting to get on top of the Ebola epidemic, though progress is slow. With more than 3,000 deaths, the US President, though, has singled out Liberia as one of the countries in most need of help still. Green Senator and former public health doctor Richard Di Natale is in Liberia right now, having looked firsthand at the impact of this deadly virus. He joins us from the capital, Monrovia. Senator Di Natale, thanks very much for joining us.
Morning, Frank.
Senator, you've been in Liberia now for 2 days. How bad is the situation?
Oh, well, it's devastating. There are some bright spots. The number of new cases in the capital has plateaued. We're still seeing roughly 70 new cases a week, but there are outbreaks in many remote communities. One only recently, a number of cases, and there are fears that an entire village will be wiped out. But the other thing, Fran, that really has struck me is the impact on the community beyond just Ebola. The health system has collapsed. We're seeing hospitals shut down because health workers are no longer prepared to go to hospitals and staff them. Some hospitals themselves have made decisions to shut their doors because they simply don't have the capacity with the number of people there. Schools are closed, so kids are out in the street. The economy's taken a huge hit. It's a massive impact.
We were speaking to the Liberian Assistant Health Minister on Monday, and he made the point about the death toll because there'd been a significant jump in the deaths, reported deaths from the WHO figures. That jumped by several thousand. He said one of the issues of the death rate is that it's difficult to tell how many of those deaths are actually Ebola and how much are other diseases that aren't being treated because either people are scared to go to hospitals or the hospitals are shut and everything's just getting caught up in Ebola. So then are you seeing, as a doctor, have you seen a knock-on effect of other illnesses, other conditions that aren't getting the attention they need and are proving fatal when they perhaps wouldn't be at any other time?
Oh, there's no question, Fran. In fact, I was with the Deputy Health Minister today and we were discussing that. There are people who, because you've got to remember that the symptoms of Ebola, particularly early on, are quite non-specific, fever, headache and so on. And things like typhoid here are endemic, there's cholera, there is a range of other forms of gastroenteritis. And so what we're seeing, particularly in young kids who are susceptible to dying from gastroenteritis, those people aren't getting the care that they would otherwise have got because the very limited health facilities that were once here have in many respects just disappeared altogether. And so we are seeing people who are dying from preventable illnesses now where they once wouldn't have. But that's not to say that that most of these cases are not Ebola. We know that through laboratory testing there are still a number of confirmed cases of Ebola. And the epidemic is far from over. And of course, I'm off to Sierra Leone in a few days' time, and in Sierra Leone it is very much still out of control. The number of new cases is escalating significantly. So we're a long way from fighting this, and we're going to have to start turning our attention now to the post sort of crisis mode and look at rebuilding the health systems here, rebuilding the economy and the huge impact that it's had right across the country.
Sure. Before we get to that, you're there on the ground. I understand you've been working with Red Cross teams who've been going out in the community and they're working on the disposing of the bodies. We know that the bodies of people who've been stricken and killed by Ebola are one of the great sort of hotspots of the disease. Tell us what it's been like doing that job. What's it like?
Look, it's very confronting. The first visit I had was with the Red Cross team. There was a death reported in a nearby market. We arrived there. The Red Cross health workers, many of them are Liberian nationals, I mean, they're heroes. They put on their protective equipment. The heat is stifling. They've got layers and layers of protective equipment. They spray and decontaminate the area. They spray the body. They have to swab the mouth of the deceased person to get confirmation as to whether it's Ebola or not. People in the community, I think, have become a little desensitised to it, and so it doesn't have the sort of impact you would imagine in that sense. But, you know, I've just returned from a place called West Point, which is probably the largest slum community in Monrovia, and again, what we're seeing there is just people who are off their own bat as volunteers. They're becoming outreach workers. They're focusing on the prevention effort. They're knocking on doors, trying to identify cases or people who may have been exposed. The job they're doing is incredible. I mean, there are a few other things that you'll notice. People don't touch each other anymore. You know, your instant reaction when you meet someone is to put your hand out. And I soon learnt that you just don't do that because contact between individuals is avoided. Whenever you walk into a public building, you have to. There are hand washing stations everywhere. You wash your hands. You have your temperature taken before you enter any public building. Again, you sort of become used to that after a while. It really is. It's changed, I think, the way that people relate to each other. Simply because the message is now getting out that that contact is direct contact is the means of transmission, and so people have changed their behaviour and are trying to adapt to it.
It's 24 past six. We're speaking with Richard Di Natale. Richard Di Natale is a doctor, a public health doctor. These days he's a Green senator. Richard Di Natale, we heard the comment there from the US president. He's asking Congress to approve another $6 billion. And the quote is, every hotspot is an ember that if not contained can become a new fire. And this was a point being made by the Assistant Health Minister of Liberia early in the week, that while they do have got their management processes better in place now, and you've just been describing some of those, they're worried about some areas in hard-to-reach parts of the country where they fear the virus might be operating unchecked, and any one of these remains a threat of another outbreak. How real is that fear? I know you've been speaking with Liberian health and government officials.
Well, this morning I was invited to attend the national coordinating response, that is the directors of all the lead agencies, the World Health Organization, the CDC, of the various UN agencies and the ministries of health. They get together every morning and we have a briefing. And I was invited to observe and participate in that meeting. And it's very clear that there are a number of outbreaks in regional areas. The big problem, of course, is some of these areas are not accessible by vehicle. And so getting the teams in to firstly confirm that it is Ebola and they need to take samples, and then to provide the supportive treatment and the education that's necessary, is very, very difficult. Some instances they're walking for 4 or 5 hours to provide the sort of care that people need. So that is a very real problem. We learnt that in those settings that, for example, they need to get a swab to a laboratory. It's just not possible because the access is a major issue, and so they're looking at ways of trying to provide helicopters. So at the very least, when a case is identified, they can bring a helicopter into some of those areas where possible and at least get case identification and the appropriate public health measures in place.
Richard Natale...
We've just got to do...
Sorry, you go.
No, I was just going to say that there's no doubt that what's needed is a really big investment from the international community, and I'm hearing that time and time again, and people have been very generous in supporting me through my visit, but the message that they've said to me loud and clear is, firstly, we need your help, we need a bigger investment from countries like Australia, and the second thing that was a bit of a surprise to me was the issue of travel restrictions. They, I think, were hurt very deeply when the Australian government made a decision to restrict entry of West Africans into Australia, and they feel that it sent precisely the opposite message that they've been trying to send, and that is that We need people. We need the people from Liberia need help. We need to attract health workers. And when you're sending messages out there that simply being Liberian means that you're putting others at risk, it really makes that job much harder. And so the other thing to just say there is that I think we do need to review the decision around travel restrictions.
All right. Richard Di Natale, thank you very much for joining us and good luck there in West Africa.
Thanks, Fran.
Richard Di Natale is a medical doctor. He's also a Green senator. He's in Liberia having a look firsthand at the impact of the Ebola outbreak. And in a couple of days, as he said, he's travelling to Sierra Leone.